Good morning, Matthew. I'm Cal Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Friday, July 17, 2026. Here is your weather for Granger. In, today, a high near 89 degrees, smoke. Tonight, a low near 72 degrees, chance showers and thunderstorms. Now for Cal's market read. Overnight, corn slipped about 4 cents, beans added about 5 cents, and wheat added about 4 cents. Recent trend, over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have firmed. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why. Cutting the other way, demand still reads firm per morning ag clips. Iowa Learning Farms to host conservation on tap event with ISU Brew Lab. Honest truth, the tape does not hand us one clean reason today, so take this as our best read, not gospel. Stocks point lower into the open, S&P futures off about 0.2%. A softer take can tighten the credit and input cost mood your lender watches. Worth a glance, but it does not set your cash bid. Now, here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. Fencing and Grazing Clinic in Northeast Iowa on August 11. This hands-on clinic addresses one of the biggest challenges in implementing any grazing system, the infrastructure. Grazing Leases and Fence Law 1:15 p.m. Register online at https://go.iasta.edu/5msmow or by calling 319-377-9839. Shelby Gross, Extension Forage Specialist at Iowa. Story 2. Iowa Learning Farms to host conservation on tap event with ISU Brew Lab in partnership with the Iowa State University Brew Lab located at 1951 Food Sciences Building on campus in Ames. Stacy Grain, ISU Brew Lab Beer and Wine Production Specialist. Robert Brown, Anson Marston Distinguished Professor of Mechanical Engineering, and Aaron Norton, Director of the Midwest Grape and Wine Industry Institute will begin the discussion by providing history of the Brew Lab and highlighting the importance of water quality in the brewing process and Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture. The event is open to farmers and landowners at no cost and includes a complimentary meal. Story 3. How to properly compensate for sweat equity. A farm's future often hinges on one hard question. How do you fairly reward the son or daughter who spent decades building the operation while siblings pursued other careers? Simply splitting the inheritance equally can shortchange that child's years of underpaid labor, a contribution known as sweat equity. Experts say the fix lies in proper valuation of that work and a written succession plan, so the on-farm heir gets credit before the estate is divided. Getting this right can keep both the land and the family relationships intact, which is why MI Farm AI thinks every farm family should read the full story. Story 4. Honeybees can detect viruses in food. Researchers looked at whether honeybees can directly sense viruses in the food they gather, not just spot sickness in their hive mates. One major threat is deformed wing virus, which crumples the wings of developing bees and spreads fast when the parasitic mite Varroa destructor feeds on pupae and adults. Because bees pick up viruses while foraging on flowers, the ability to detect and avoid contaminated food could cut down on infections and slow the spread of disease across a colony. For anyone who depends on pollinators for crops, healthier hives mean better pollination and yields. So this finding could point toward new ways to protect bee populations. Story 5. Cyanobacteria returns with summer. Warm summer weather brings back a familiar hazard, cyanobacteria, and producers need to watch for these toxins on their operations. Also known as blue-green algae, cyanobacteria thrives in standing water and can turn deadly for livestock that drink from contaminated ponds or troughs. The article, datelined out of Black River Falls, Wisconsin, opens with a twist about crop damage from deer before turning to this lesser-known summer threat. For anyone running cattle or relying on farm ponds, knowing the warning signs could save animals and money, making this a story worth reading in full. Story 6. Secret Seasoning Success. Luke Schilling's journey from Grandpa's recipe to national FFA recognition. Purdue student and 2025 Eastern Hancock High School graduate Luke Schilling has turned his grandfather Doug Big Doug brand secret steakhouse spice blend into Big Doug secret seasoning. And this October he stands as one of just 4 national finalists for the American Star in Agribusiness Award at the 99th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Schilling took over the recipe about 10 years ago as a kid, scaling up from a small KitchenAid mixer to a 50-gallon commercial mixer and moving from door-to-door sales to an online store at BigDougSeasoning.com that now ships to over 30 states and several countries. What makes his venture stand out is that it runs entirely as a non-profit, with every dollar reinvested to sponsor children through World Vision and Compassion International, stock local food pantries, and fund FFA and 4-H programs. His mother Natalie, who is also his FFA advisor, serves on the business board and keeps orders and labeling running while he is at college, and through it all the family recipe stays a guarded secret, made, as Luke jokes, with love. Story 7. Syngenta sues BASF to block Ritavex corn herbicide launch. Two crop protection giants are headed to a Delaware federal court after Syngenta filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Germany's BASF to stop the launch of Ritavex, a new corn herbicide the EPA is expected to approve within days. Syngenta claims Ritavex, which mixes the weed killer pyroxasulfone with a corn safener called isoxidifen ethyl, copies U.S. patent number 8,404,618 behind its own premium product, Storin. Syngenta wants the court to block sales immediately, arguing that letting a rival in during the critical June to September distributor buying window would cause irreparable harm, and it is also seeking damages and lost profits. For corn growers, the stakes are real, because an injunction could mean one fewer tool against herbicide-resistant superweeds, higher prices from less competition, and more uncertainty for the dealers stocking your chemicals this fall. Story 8. USDA blueberry referendum sparks debate over proposed assessment increase. Blueberry growers are voting this month on a 5-year referendum from the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council that could double their assessment from $18 to $36 per ton for fresh berries and imports, with processed set at $30. Michigan Blueberry Advisory Committee President Chad Reinders is urging growers to grasp the weight of this vote, warning that a bigger marketing budget does not guarantee better returns, especially when a 2024 Michigan State study found the average grower earns just $240 per acre. The push comes as domestic fresh production jumped about 30% over the past decade while imports nearly doubled, and USHBC Committee Chair Tom Bogg says the 2-year proposal answers those swelling supplies, citing Cornell research projecting a 10-to-1 return on the added promotion over 6 years. It matters because farmers rarely get to vote directly on their own costs, and Bogd notes growers will still get another say on the assessment if the USDA advances the petition. Story 9. Trade progress with China offers hope for U.S. corn, soybean markets. China and the U.S. appear ready to roll back tariffs, with the U.S. dropping its 10% fentanyl tariff while China cuts 10% on American grain imports, a move that market analyst Don Roos of U.S. Commodities calls a real demand boost. Back in May, the White House said China committed to buying at least $17 billion in U.S. farm products every year through 2028. Roos says this progress opens a quicker path for China to buy its prorated 17 million metric tons of corn by year's end and in the years ahead, making American grain more competitive. Recent Chinese purchases are already helping prop up corn and soybean prices, so this thaw in trade tensions could mean stronger markets right when you need them. Story 10. House Budget Committee OKs Reconciliation 3.0, rejecting Democratic proposals. The House Budget Committee voted 20-14 on Thursday to advance a $95 billion package called Reconciliation 3.0, clearing the way for up to $12 billion in fresh aid to farmers. Democrats offered 14 amendments, all shot down along party lines, including one from Rep. Jimmy Panetta of California that aimed to repeal Trump's global and targeted tariffs. Panetta argued the tariffs have pushed the effective rate to 11.8% and cost the average household up to $940 a year, saying the $12 billion only papers over bad trade policy rather than fixing it. Chairman Jody Arrington of Texas fired back that past leaders were weak on enforcing the China deal and had been scammed for decades. So tune in to hear why this fight over your farm aid is heating up as new tariffs on 60 nations and a 25% hit on Brazil loom. And now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. A dairy bull broke through a fence and walked into the neighbor's yard. The neighbor called the farmer. The farmer said, "He's just paying a visit. He'll be home for supper." The neighbor said, "That's what I'm afraid of." Here is Cal's quiz. After the 1929 stock market crash, what happened to corn that brought 80 cents per bushel in 1929? A. It stayed at 80 cents. B. It dropped to 55 cents by 1932. C. It dropped to 31 cents by 1932. D. It rose to $1.20 by 1932. And the answer, it dropped to 31 cents by 1932, a price floor that triggered the AAA in 1933. Farm prices fell another 50% after Black Tuesday, October 29, 1929, on top of post-World War I weakness. Source, USDA Economic Research Service Historical Price Series, Federal Reserve Historical Record. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields, and thanks for letting MI Farm AI ride along this morning.